This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is BFM 89.9, 7:18 in the morning. In about half an hour, we'll talk to Qjia Yor, the co-chair of the Bar Council Environmental and Climate Change Committee, on the proposed Environmental Crimes Unit. But in the meantime, access to connectivity. Because these days, remote jobs and distances, distance learning have become so much more common, and high-speed internet is more important than ever. So just as well then, the government recently announced the Jandela Initiative, which is also known as the National Digital Infrastructure Plan, which is meant to be a blueprint for the transition for the country towards a 5G technology and high-quality broadband.
But of course, against this backdrop, one pertinent question remains. Will all Malaysians benefit equally from this progress, and how do we ensure equitable access to connectivity? Now, the idea of digital inclusion is precisely the subject of a recent article from the Khazana Research Institute.
So to talk with us about the state of digital inclusion in Malaysia today is Rachel Gong, the Senior Research Associate of the Khazana Research Institute. Rachel, in your opinion, you're urging that we think about internet access in a much more multifaceted way, where something which you term meaningful connectivity, as opposed to just being a binary concept. In Malaysia, most households have some access to the internet, but how well do we fare on this meaningful connectivity idea?
Okay, so the original understandings of digital divide, I think, are now becoming a little outdated, because the goal of meaningful connectivity is not just checking off connection standards, but ensuring digital technologies are improving economic and social well-being. We really do need to consider differences in how we're accessing the internet and how we're using it. For example, are we mostly on the phone or computers? Is it mostly for social media and games, or is it for, you know, educational work purposes? Because the gains that we get from these different types of use are going to be different. And what we're trying to do then is to try and close the gap in those digital inequalities. So what some people have proposed in order to understand meaningful connectivity is a minimum standards framework with four dimensions. Number one, daily internet use. Two, whether you have at least a smartphone to connect to the internet. Number three, whether you have unlimited data. And number four, at least 4G. Malaysians generally, I would say, daily use, not an issue. And we are very much a smartphone society. So we do meet the minimum standards on that front. But in terms of unlimited data and consistent 4G connectivity, we may be falling a little bit short. The data show that we are mostly focused on socializing and on media consumption. But we are seeing things like e-payments and the use of the internet for school and work increasing as well. And that's a promising thing.
And your article also highlights that a digital divide is more pertinent for some groups compared to others. So men have more access to connectivity versus women, and younger people tend to be more connected than older groups. While the generational gap seems to be more self-explanatory, can you explain to us the gender divide though?
So the data indicate the proportion of women who are internet users in Malaysia is not really keeping up with the proportion of women in the population. And that's actually reflective of a global trend, and one that's definitely of concern. It hurts the economy. So I've typically seen two explanations given for the gender gap. The first is device affordability. So if you look at a household that can only afford one device, it's almost certainly going to the head of the household, and that's usually a man. The second reason is the lack of digital literacy, where you see a tendency for women in groups with lower education and lower income levels to think that, oh, I don't really need to use the internet. So they don't spend a lot of time or money trying to get online. And this is definitely an area that warrants more research in Malaysia to figure out if this is actually the case for us. And if it is, then I think that education and putting devices in women's hands is very much needed at the local level. So for example, if you have local community groups who are able to go in and say, here, let me show you how having a device and having an internet connection can really help you communicate with your community or learn how to do new skills or to even do things like pay your bills automatically, that's going to be very helpful in trying to close that divide.
So over the years, we've seen data prices come down. So if this trend continues, can we expect the digital divide to eventually close, or does it take much more than that?
I think it definitely takes more than that. The analysis in the paper suggests that data affordability is no longer the big factor driving the digital divide. If we set aside network access, because there are definitely still areas that don't get consistent 4G coverage or there's no high-speed fixed broadband available, the other factors that go into the digital divide in Malaysia are device affordability and digital literacy. So you'll have a lot of people who go online with their smartphones, but I think the people who are really benefiting are people who have computers and fixed broadband subscriptions at home. And that's a much smaller proportion. So if we want to talk about how lowering prices can help close the divide, I think lowering device prices is important, but the bigger issue is digital literacy. To kind of show you how the two come together, let's talk about how the implementation of the mandatory standard on access pricing helped lower the prices for fixed broadband. And it meant that a lot of existing subscribers got upgraded, but we did not really see a lot of new fixed broadband subscribers. And I think that's because a lot of people probably already had mobile plans. And even though the prices for fixed broadband went down, people sort of looked around and said, well, I already have a mobile subscription. Why do I need to pay extra for a subscription that I can only use when I'm at home? And I think there's a lack of that digital awareness that it's great because now my entire household can use as much data as they need at one fixed price. And I think that may change now because of, you know, the pandemic and people trying to work from home and manage online education. But before that, we weren't aware of the benefits of having fixed broadband. So I think more has to be done around improving this sort of digital literacy. So the digital divide is going to require not just, you know, infrastructure solutions or financial solutions, but social solutions as well.
And Rachel, we often talk about tech as a way to help provide services like banking and quality education. But how do we actually ensure tech acts as that great equalizer and that people are actually adopting tech for these reasons?
Yes, I think a key component of this is improving digital literacy. And I'm not referring to just digital skills like being able to code or being able to do data analysis. I mean, recognizing that there are a lot of useful things that we can do online. For example, automating bill payments, development of new skills, but also recognizing that there are risks of being online. For example, if you're allowing a business to track you everywhere you go, or if you don't recognize that you're only seeing selected information because there are algorithms that nobody really understands making those decisions on what is important and what should be shown to us first. There are digital skills that we can teach in schools, but there is also a lot more to be done in terms of public awareness around issues like cybersecurity and misinformation. And so it's going to take a holistic effort to make sure that everybody is aware of this so that they can think about tech as, okay, this is how different groups are going to be able to benefit. And then this is where certain other groups are going to be vulnerable. And so we need to protect those groups. And what I think will happen is this improved digital literacy will lead us to reviewing and revising some of our laws and regulations to keep them up to date so that they're relevant and appropriate for the kind of networked, data-driven society that we're becoming.
So the government recently launched Jindila, this digital infrastructure plan to prepare the nation for the shift to 5G. Rachel, what kind of policy recommendations do you have on the digital equity front as we embrace 5G?
Yes, I'm all for improving technology and upgrading infrastructure. And I think it's actually very good that Jindila has recognized that we really need to expand 4G coverage in order to set the foundation for 5G. The thing is, and I'm not an infra expert, but from what I understand, 5G is going to work best in open areas over short distances. So not only will we need an existing 4G network and lots of 5G cell towers, we're not going to immediately see this in areas that are underdeveloped. So hilly areas, jungle areas, rural areas, they're probably not going to experience the benefits of 5G too quickly. And although there are useful 5G implementations for businesses, drone monitoring for agriculture and better temperature control in factories and such, there's still a lot of question about how 5G is going to benefit end users. So I don't know that 5G is necessarily what should be our focus at the moment. What should be the focus is on the fundamentals. And, you know, Jindila does have that in terms of improving 4G coverage and ensuring that a high quality of service can be maintained nationwide. So definitely one policy priority that I would say is, you know, the provision of high quality 4G as a public utility. And again, the increased efforts to improve digital literacy at all levels so that we can understand, okay, where are the benefits and risks of having not just 5G, but also constant connectivity in general.
Thanks ever so much. That was Rachel Gong of the Khazanah Research Institute talking about the digital divide, which is exactly the fodder for this morning's poll on BFM's Twitter page. The question really asking of people is, what's the biggest hurdle to bridging this digital divide? Just four choices: affordability, infrastructure, political will, and others, and then tell us why. Okay, 28 minutes past 7. We'll come back after this with the 7:30 news bulletin. And after that, more news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.